Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. This is the reading of God's word. And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat, what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts, which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that our faith will grow, and with that growing faith, that we will love Christ, our Lord and Savior, more and more. And Father, through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us. And Father, pour out your grace that your word will be preached correctly. And all of us not only hear your word, but also believe and also obey your word. Oh, Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Luke chapter 12, as we saw, our Lord Jesus Christ shows us the true picture of those who are with Christ and who are gathering with Christ. The true picture of the citizens of the kingdom of God. In them, there is no hypocrisy. We saw that in the beginning of chapter. And they are not afraid of this world or the people that belongs to this world. And they confess Jesus Christ to all. They forsake every form of greed. And they do not store up treasure for themselves, but they are rich toward God. These are the citizens of the kingdom of God. Now Jesus continues his teaching in our passage, verse 22. And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Do not worry what to eat, what to put on. First thing we must understand is that this is His command. This is God's command that we must obey. And this is not His suggestion. He's commanding you and me, do not worry. And we must obey. Worrying. Now, the world, to get rid of this worrying, they gather the wealth of this world. They believe that when they have a lot of things of this world, then they don't have to worry. But more they gather, more worries come. See, your and mine, Christian security is not in the wealth of this world. This is what we must understand. Gathering the earth is not our purpose. Earthly wealth is not our purpose. Our life does not center on eating and drinking. Jesus has already said in the previous chapter of this book, Luke, He already said that we do not live on the bread of this world alone. We live by God's Word. And we live by faith in our God. Our security is our God. 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17b, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. We are to fix our hope on our God, who is all-powerful and all-knowing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Our God loves us, and He takes care of us, and we must trust Him. Now Jesus proceeds to tell us why we do not have to worry. Luke chapter 12, verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. Not much explanation needed to understand what Jesus is saying. Our God is in control of all things. And we must trust Him and we must depend on Him. And it's actually fun to depend on Him. Psalm 147 verse 9, He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens which cry. According to Leviticus 11, verse 15, the ravens are an unclean animal. The point, then, is that God would take care of these ravens, which are so insignificant. Then how much more will He take care of you? Luke chapter 12, verse 25 and 26, and which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? What's the point? Worrying is completely useless. And it is actually poison to Christianity. Mark chapter 4, verse 19, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Did you hear that? If you feel that God's word is not fruitful in your life, well, here's one of the reasons. The worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for all these things in the world, they come in and they choke the word, Bible says. That is why you are not fruitful. Luke chapter 12, verse 27 and 28, consider the lilies. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? Again, not much explanation is needed for us to understand what Jesus is saying. Grass, consider the grass. Psalm 90 verse 6, in the morning it flourishes and the sprouts are new. Toward evening it fades and withers away. One of the most transient things in this world. And yet God will clothe even the grass. How much more will he clothe you? That's the point. Ultimately, the worries of this world is unbelief. It's not trusting God. It is to live as if God cannot control things of the world and God cannot control my life. Is that what we believe? That God just cannot control even my life? And worrying, it arises because we would not forsake the greed of this world. So worrying is actually sin. That's why Jesus says, you men of little faith. Verse 29 and 30, and do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink. And do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. The life that seeks what one will eat and what one will drink, that life. And because of that one keeps worrying, that life belongs to this sinful world. It doesn't belong to Christians. And that's what God tells us. That kind of life, worrying about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink, it belongs to this world. But you have been saved out of this world. You do not belong to this world anymore, Bible says. So who seeks these things? Well, the worldly people will seek worldly things. Isn't that obvious? But Christians, we don't doubt that our Heavenly Father will give us what we need to live this life that God has given us. Now, of course, God is not promising us that He will make us rich in this world. Of course, God could make us rich if that's what He wants. Or He could make us poor. He never promises about the worldly things. In the New Testament, if you find God's promising His people about worldly things, you let me know, because I would like to know. In the New Testament, God says, don't worry about those things. We are never to seek it. But see, we always want more than we need. It's the greed. Nobody, including myself, who are sitting here, nobody is satisfied with daily bread. But God promises that much daily bread that He will always give you. So we don't know whether God's going to make us rich or maybe poor all our lives. He never promises anything like that. But what God is promising in our passage is that He will give us enough so that we don't have to worry about what to eat and what to drink. He will definitely give us our daily food. To worry about what to eat or what to drink is to completely distrust our God. We have been saved out of all worries. That's what heavenly life is all about. I guarantee it. You go heaven, you will not worry about anything. And that life that belongs to heaven has already begun in your life here on earth. You must trust God. I know it's so hard to do, but we must trust God. He who feeds the ravens and he who dresses the grass, why would he not feed and dress us who are more important than the ravens and the grass? And our God, He knows what we need and He will provide. And God who loves us, why would He keep things from us? You know, sometimes we act like God is keeping things from us because He doesn't want to give us. No, Romans 8, verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? But He doesn't. Why? Because it's not good for you. We love our children, but that little child just keep on asking you for candy. Just constantly asking for candy, candy. Will you give that candy to him? No. You love that child. You're not going to give him. Does that mean that you now hate the child because you're not willing to give what he's saying he wants? God knows what is needed. God knows what is good for you. And if He doesn't give you, then there's definitely good reason. You must trust Him. And be happy. You know, our church, we're not rich. And we ask for certain things, but God doesn't give us. So are we sad? Well, we know that everything is okay because God actually knows better than us what we need and what is good for us. So, if He does not give us what you ask, then know it, that it's not good for you. Otherwise, if it is good for His purpose for you, He will definitely give it to you. And His purpose is not to make you rich in this world. Oh, that is not His purpose. I mean, if that is His purpose, then I will even agree with those people who say God is wrong. Look at us. We're not rich. If that's His purpose for us and we're like this, oh, then something is really, really wrong. The Bible is very clear. It's not God's will. It's not God's purpose to make us rich in this world. So we trust Him. He knows what He's doing. Luke chapter 12, verse 31 and 32, "But seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." Only God's way for us to escape the worries of what to eat and what to drink. God shows us. If you don't want to worry about what to eat and what to drink, here's God's method. Seek God's kingdom. Seek heaven. Isn't that what God says right there? To seek heaven. When we seek heaven, God has promised that all these things will be added to us. Thus, if we want the things to eat and things to drink and things to wear, then all we have to do is seek kingdom, seek heaven. And God has promised that all these things will be added to us. But the sinners, they seek what to eat and what to drink, but they do not seek heaven. Also, we must remember that we are not seeking heaven just so that we could get the things of this world. That's all we have to do, God says. Seek God's kingdom. And God continues in verse 32, "Do not be afraid." Why? "Because our Father has chosen gladly to give us the kingdom." Luke chapter 22, verse 29 and 30, "And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel." You see, this is our God's will for us, which He has told us even from the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 7, verse 27, "Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Highest One. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominion will serve and obey Him." Brothers and sisters, God never promised you anything of this world. All that He has promised you about this world is that you don't have to worry about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. That's it. But you have to understand what He is promising. He's promising you heavenly kingdom. The problem is the sinners, they don't want heaven. They want this world. And they even use God to gain this world rather than what He truly desired to give us. Seeking the kingdom of God. What does that mean, seeking the kingdom of God? It is to seek heaven. It is to seek the blessings of heaven. It is to seek the life of heaven. It is to seek the visible consummation of the heavenly reality. It is to seek the reality in which we will see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Thus, seeking the kingdom of God is to seek our Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to love our God more than anything of this world. Again, seek the kingdom of God. It is God's command that we must obey. Once again, it is not God's promise that He will give us a worry-free life in this world. But whenever something happened that we must worry, we stop. We trust God and stop worrying. The sufferings and difficulties will remain in our lives until we die and go to heaven. John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Even though Jesus has overcome the world, that does not mean you're not going to have tribulation in this world. Actually, God promises you. You see, God never promised you to make you rich, but He did promise you that you will suffer in this world as you live as a Christian. Acts chapter 14, verse 22, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. God wants you to share the sufferings of Christ. And it is our honor to do so. And we need to really be clear what God is actually saying in the Bible. I mean, if God promises wealth of this world, oh, then we should expect that. But it is wrong to expect worldly wealth when He doesn't promise it. But He promises the heavenly kingdom, your eternal life of heaven. That He promises. And our passage ends with this, verse 33 and 34. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts, which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I don't want you to go out today and sell you all your things, because you're going to regret it tomorrow. I mean, if you are so sure you're not going to regret tomorrow, then go ahead, do it. No, it has to come from your heart. This has to be something you really want to do. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. What is that? Selling your possessions and giving them to the people who need them. Luke chapter 18, verse 22. One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your treasure is in this world, then your heart will be in this world. If your treasure is in heaven, then your heart will be in heaven. This is not really difficult, you guys. Wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there. Worrying happens because our treasure is in this world. That's why we worry. Because if all your treasure is in heaven, you're not going to worry. You don't have to worry. And because our treasure in this world, our hearts are also in this world. And you have to remember that we are not storing up the worldly treasure in heaven. That's not what we're doing. What we're doing is we need to share our worldly treasures so that we may store up the heavenly treasure in heaven. So how do we store up treasure of heaven? Well, you have to share your earthly treasure. That's God's way. And that's the only way, actually. And if you don't have much money in heavenly bank, you gotta start doing things so that you could put some deposit in there. I know, it's hard. Living as a Christian is not an easy thing. You know, some people say, oh, Christian life is so easy. Well, they never lived it. That's why they say that kind of stuff. It is really hard. But do we love our Lord Jesus Christ or not? And God says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Oh, we could just sing those songs, I love you, Lord, you know, for 2 hours, but that doesn't mean you love him. You got to love God. And our treasure, heavenly treasure, is not temporary treasure, it's forever treasure. Your earthly treasure is temporary. It's not going to last that long. You're going to lose everything when you die. And heavenly treasure is forever treasure, and no one can take away from us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in to steal. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, I do my best to bring the gospel to you every Lord's Day. And gospel means good news. And I really pray to God that today's message, that it will be good news to you rather than it just becomes burden to you. You gotta realize what has happened to you. How you have been recreated as a new creation. And Bible tells us as that new creation, how now you are thinking, how you understand things, how you believe things. Do not listen to the world. They will tell you, you gotta be a certain way, you have to have certain things. That's a lie. All you need is Jesus Christ. You don't need anything else. Am I against being rich in this world? I keep telling you, I'm not against that. I wish some of you are so rich that we could have our own building and all that. But that is not our purpose. We don't live to have those kind of stuff. That's not our purpose. It is not about being successful in this world or how much money we make or what kind of college you go in. It's not about that. Life is not about all those things. To live is Christ. Our life is about Christ. And here's the gospel. the life that seeks heaven. If I tell you to go out today and starting today, seek heaven, and you go, amen, and you go out, and what happens? Oh, all of a sudden you are just seeking heaven, seeking Christ. Is that what's going to happen? No. But the good news is that life that seeks heaven, that is a life that belongs to Jesus Christ. That's how He lived when He came here as a man. That's how He lived. He sought the kingdom of heaven throughout His life. He forsook this world completely. And He lived His life for the other people. He gave everything to other people. He even gave His life to us. And the Bible tells us that He lived that life for us, but He also lived that life in our places, and He lived that life instead of us. So, His life has now become our life. And if you want to live like Him, first thing you must do is that you believe that Jesus has lived that kind of life for you. That He lived instead of you. And with that faith, with believing that life has now become yours, and with that faith, if you share even one penny with other people, then God is actually pleased. Even if you could go out and share what you have without faith in Jesus Christ. You know, all the non-Christians, they do that. They would even donate $1 million or $1 billion. But that doesn't please God. Without faith, we cannot please God. So rather than listening to this kind of sermon and determining your heart saying, okay, I'm going to do this. No. First of all, you will not be able to do it. And even if you do it without proper understanding of the gospel, it's useless. You must believe that Jesus lived that kind of life for you. In your places. So that His life has become my life. So you actually believe. And because you believe that that life is now your life, you will actually live that out. Because that's what you believe. And by that faith, you will bring glory to your God. Because it's not by your act. Let's say you share half of what you have. It's not that act that will please God. No, because you did not do it perfectly. You only did it half. But it's by faith. By giving half, now pleases God because you believe that Jesus has lived that kind of life for you. And even if you did one-fourth, God is still pleased because of your faith. Without faith, no one is able to please God. Hebrews chapter 11. We must believe that His life has become our life, and by believing, we must witness that reality. Thus, God's command for you, Hebrews 13, verse 5, make sure that your character is free from love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will ever I forsake you. We are happy because God is with us, not because we have some money or we have this property, this kind of car or anything like that. Bible clearly says the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. You know, wealth, it is dangerous for those who have it, but you must remember that it is also dangerous for those who do not have it but seeking it. Somehow these days, message is rich are evil and poor are good. That is not what the Bible teaches. It's not rich is, you know, poor are evil and poor is good. What Bible teaches is both evil are both poor and rich. They are all evil. And both need Christ. First John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. Examine yourselves. Now again, we are not saying that making much money is bad. But God commands us to share our wealth with the others to store up much treasure in heaven. If you make more, if you make much, hallelujah. But use it the way that God wants you to use it. And if you make less, still use what you have the way that God wants you to use it. Now, this life, storing up treasure in heaven, it belongs to all of us who are the citizens of heaven. We're not just rich in this world, but we are rich toward our God. You know, let me just read to you one passage and we'll end our sermon today. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. If you read Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, there you will see seven churches. Now, number 7, it just shows the completeness. So, these seven churches represent all the churches in all history, in all world. And one church, Smyrna, was very, very poor. According to the world, it's very poor. But Laodicea, or now, I don't know how to say that word, but let me just say, Laodicea is the rich church in this world. They look at that church and go, whoa, that's a rich church. Now, this is how Jesus judges them. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, Smyrna. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. They were very poor. I guess they were poor like us. And yet Jesus says, no, but you are so rich. Now the other church, Laodicea. Because you say, Jesus says to them, because you say, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Oh, this church knew how rich they were. And yet, Jesus says, no, you're miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. My point of that is, understand true richness. If you want to be really rich, biblically speaking, it's not about how much things of this world you have. So what? You are so rich in this world, and when you die, there's nothing for you. Because you did not deposit any money in heavenly bank. Then what? And we're not just talking about the actual amount. You know, rich person can deposit $1 million in heavenly bank, and some poor guy only has very, you know, little, so he deposited $1. That doesn't mean the $1 million guy has deposited more. That's not how our God judges. So even if you're poor, you could put so much money in the heavenly bank. God does not judge things how the world judges. He has different rules. So you being poor is no excuse not storing up treasure in heaven. You could still do it. And don't think you're poor. Even when you don't have much. You are God's son. You have God himself and the kingdom of God as your eternal inheritance. It's like you live your life here and your father, let's say your father is like trillionaire. I guess now a billion is not enough, right? Yeah. And he's about to give all that to you. That's your inheritance. $1 trillion he gives to you. How are you going to live your life? That's what has already happened. God the Father gave his kingdom to you. He gave himself to you. You know how rich you are, and you need to see that. So when you go home, look yourself in the mirror and see how rich you are. Truly rich. Oh yeah, world will not acknowledge that, but who cares what world says? God acknowledges it. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who possess God and his kingdom, heaven, as our eternal inheritance, let us forsake this world more and more and seek God's kingdom more and more. And let us seek more and more our Lord Jesus Christ in every day of our lives. Live a life that resembles our Lord's life. That's good life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that Jesus' life has become our life. Even though there's no way we could live like him, but he gave his life to us. And by believing that his life has become our life, by that faith, we will be able to imitate him more and more. Truly imitate him. So, Father, increase our faith that we may live by faith to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we love you. pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.